Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Thunderstruck. Yeah,
hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Yo.
How you fellas doing?
I'm actually here, sorry.
Good, good.
I see that James Harden didn't show up for Sixers practice. Do I have to go through that crap for another year? Can the
maybe
Sixers,
for just another few weeks.
Can we be relegated? Like, as a fan, I am pushing for them to be relegated. They are the most, that team is the most competitive team of late that drives you nuts of any professional sports team. They have the MVP and Joel Embiid. They've got James Harden. They had Doc Rivers, right? I mean, they had all these things that you're like, oh, maybe they can win this championship. And every year, of course, they fall short. And now this year, the Celtics go out and add two studs to the team. So we couldn't beat them before this. And I'm like, you know, and I'm such an outside NBA guy. It's the one league that I pay attention to because I like the stars. But it's just a league that, like, if the Sixers win, great. But what's funny about it, which shows I still have some heart, is when they get to the playoffs or they don't do well, I get fired up still. So it shows that it's still in me somewhere. But I'm just, like, right off the bat, James Harden is not going to show up for practice because he wants to be traded probably or –
definitely. He says he won't play for Daryl Morey ever again.
Okay.
What's interesting there is, like,
how about score more than 4 points in a playoff game, James?
Yeah. He's had some playoff duds for sure.
It's
a window here with Joel Embiid.
It is.
That you got to take advantage of.
I wanted him to trade him. And the only reason I say this is I'm still sane somewhat. Now, people might show up at any moment with a white coat and say, let's go. The only reason I like Joel Embiid, and I think he's a stud, he obviously is a stud, but you're not going to win with him. We don't have enough around him. So just trade him now while you can, and then well, there again, though, this would be like the 10th rebuild in the last 12 years.
Trust the process all over again.
What was that dude's name?
Oh, man.
It doesn't matter. It's just going to elicit an angry response from me. So.
The coach who won, like, 14 games a year.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Well, the executive that, like,
led
the trust the process. I can't recall his
who
name.
Who started trust the process, Philly? Sam Hinkie.
That's it, Sam Hinkie. I'm sorry to come out of the gates talking. People are like, God, I'm glad Lon was gone yesterday. We didn't have to hear about the Sixers. Jeez. I don't. Okay. Yeah,
another troubled franchise, and I would argue mine is more painful is the Chicago Bears. I found myself last night watching clips of Jay Cutler on Twitter and feeling like I was a jilted lover and please come back to me, Jay Cutler.
The good old days.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The good old days of just
Derek
dumb decisions and picks against the Packers. But hey, I mean, Duke could sling it. Him and Brandon Marshall throw Alshon Jeffery, Matt Forte. Yeah. I would sign up for that yesterday.
In a heartbeat.
I miss it.
I can already see your family just like, just he needs a moment.
I do.
Let him watch these highlights. We'll go play with Daddy here in a minute. Let him get his J. Cutler.
Oh, no. Don't worry. I waited till after my son was asleep to do that.
Man, you're better than me because when I was your age and had kids like that young, as soon as they fell asleep, I'm like, I'm oot. I was asleep in a heartbeat just to try to match their sleeping schedule.
It's one of the few times of kind of personal peace, or you can do something for yourself that you don't get to do otherwise.
I totally want
to watch a show. You want to fire up my PS4, maybe mess around on Madden for 30 minutes.
That sounds fun.
I do that from time to time.
I think the last unit I ever had was a PlayStation 2. Where are they at now? Four?
Five.
Five. Five. Yeah. Okay, so I wouldn't know any of the buttons. Is the controller still similar to what the 2 was, or is it just... Okay.
PlayStation stayed pretty consistent.
Okay. So maybe I could still... Can you still buy, like, PlayStation 2? Like, if I needed... I don't even know where it's at. I may have given it away, to be honest with you. Or maybe one of the boys has it. But could I guess I could still lock in to play a Madden game?
Yeah.
Like a Madden in that era?
I'm sure they're probably not making the new Maddens for PlayStation 2, but you could still fire up a Madden on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be good playing back with.
I know people are still playing PS2 to tap into the NCAA football.
Oh, because that was like the last time, right?
Yeah.
Is NIL now? Can we not get that back?
It's supposed to be next year.
Back. Oh, it is coming back. I figured that would be the case.
Summer 2024.
Is that probably the most popular sports game?
There's the highest demand to bring it back. I mean,
okay.
Madden's pretty popular. Kyle and I both appreciate MLB The Show. If you like baseball, that's a great game. Probably the best made sports game, in my opinion.
I want the one that is most real, and I don't mean graphic. Well, I mean, I do mean graphics. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to go back to Pong. But I want the one that is more realistic on – like, I would love to play – a game where, like, let's say, just to make this up, when the Patriots were winning every year, I'd want it to be really hard to beat New England, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be where I can just go in there with the scrub Cardinals and beat them by 30. You know, it's like, that's not realistic, Lon. I don't know. What's the most popular? We got to talk Illinois, Wisconsin. What am I doing? What's the most popular video game of all time, you think?
The most popular video game of all time.
Like, it'd be neat to know.
Call of Duty's probably up there.
Yeah. And I was able to play that a few years.
I know if you're an Xbox user, Halo was huge when I was growing up, for sure.
Got it. And then the newer ones, what's the...
You, of course, have...
What's the one where you're building as you go?
Yeah.
That thing is crazy popular, it seems like, with the kids. That's good.
Fortnite. Shows how old we are. We couldn't come up with Fortnite.
Where's Kyle when you need him?
Wes says on the U of I Atlanta League text line, NHL and FIFA are awesome sports video games. I agree with both of those. And Lon and I actually, after a show, were talking about playing NHL back in our college days. That was a big game in college for sure.
Huge. Blades of Steel for me. Yeah, the NHL one, I think I remember having one for PS2, and it was pretty good. I liked it. I never got into the soccer one, but I think I would enjoy that. Yeah, Lindy says, Lon, you just need to change the settings to make it hard. I think, yeah, you're right. You're right. You can play like all-star level or something. Yeah. Okay.
But there's a level. There's a line where you throw too many picks and then you're just mad. I'm just trying to have a good time. You know, just kind of decompress a little bit, mess around on this game and... I just threw three picks in the first half. I'm not having fun.
I don't want a top five pick every year.
I just broke my controller. I got to pay $50 to get another one.
And isn't it funny how, like, you'd play Call of Duty and you can't get by this one fight scene or whatever it is, right? So you just have to keep – and you finally just get so mad. Or if, like, all of a sudden dinner's ready – I'm just making something up here – and you have to leave or it's ready to go – you're ready to go out or something – and it's like, well, it's not a big deal, Lon. You can just reset it. But in your mind, it's like, I've got a game going here, man. I am not. And the kids especially.
Oh,
like, hey, let's go. Dinner is ready. but I'm in the middle of a game. Well, yeah. I mean, you can reset the dang thing.
I still remember. There's that. There's how dare my mom walk across the TV with her vacuum while we were in the middle. Mom, I'm playing online.
Oh,
come on, Mom.
The audacity to do that.
Yeah.
Wow, your mom, man. I used to I thought she was cool.
Yeah, sorry, Mom.
What's an Oculus VR? Is that the old one you put the goggles on your head? I'd be knocking crap down.
I think so,
house.
Yeah.
I'd be Kyler Murray scrambling and just, do I actually shrink? That'd be kind of cool.
I can't see over these linemen. He's like, Lon's jumping in his living room trying to see over the line.
What are you jumping for? The whole house is shaking. Well, I can't see over the center. That would be kind of cool, though, like if you were like LeBron and you were all of a sudden 6'8" and muscular. You know, like you could feel your muscles. You're like, holy crap. Come look at me right now. Hurry and take a picture because it's going to go away when I take these off. Now I think it would be cool. I mean, it's going to be that way, right? In like 20 years, we'll be able to just, you'll be able to walk into like a little room in your house and you can literally
transform
play
into any athlete.
Exactly.
You want.
Yep. Exactly. And you'll be like, you even feel getting hit, you know, getting hit and stuff. You like, you could even like put the, you could put it at a certain pain level. You know, like if you were real mad, you just put it at 10 and you can feel the safety just hit you from behind when you didn't know he was coming.
Oh,
that. Yeah,
can you imagine you flip on a baseball game and you get hit by a 95-mile-an-hour fastball?
Oh, no.
Rings your bell.
Aroldis Chapman's still throwing about 96. By the way, Cliff said, just shows the realism of Madden if Piper's throwing three interceptions the first half.
It happens once in a blue moon, I'll admit, but I think I'm pretty good at Madden.
Sal said the last time he played Madden, he took the disc out and threw it at the wall. That'll show it.
That sounds about right, man.
I bet that hurt that thing.
Sounds right.
We're all the same deep down.
Yeah.
We're all competitive, and you want to win. Diane's coming out of nowhere here, like a ghost emerging from the...
I was always a Tetris gal.
Tetris, yes. Yeah.
You know, Miss Pac-Man, all that.
Tetris was too fast moving for me. It was like whoa, like you never got a break. Like I couldn't stand Tetris. Or Qbert. All right, Pipes, I'm going to shut up now. We can...
The last thing I have to offer up is, can you... I know they already do this in some games, like make the throwback player. So when we do get in that room and we put on the goggles, you can be, you know, if I want to be Albert Pujols in his prime,
yes,
in St. Louis, if I want to be Frank Thomas and point and say, she's going to like it too. And then I hit a home run.
That would be, yes, I would love that. And I'd love it even more if it were people that I never got to see play. Stan Musial, Bob Gibson, Ernie Banks, Satchel Paige. Guys like that, I mean, if you could, and I'm sure there is something out there that has that, but if you could do like that era, well, of course, that era, they didn't play in the same era, but you know what I mean? Like if you could go back and add guys like that, oh man, that would be so cool.
I go to make a juke like Barry Sanders and blow an Achilles.
How come he never had Achilles problems? Or
I don't know.
He must have the strongest knees and below, because he could do things that were just not even legal.
Yeah.
They weren't legal.
Right.
Oh, he was so good.
Well, as a transition into real football, we have that to care about thanks to a win in College Park this past weekend by the Illini.
I know what Kyle's laughing at.
I was a little bit on the fence about whether or not that was going to happen or not. A loss there, a loss to Wisconsin.
Yes.
And homecoming, you'd be, 2-6, and this thing would be about all she wrote. But Illinois got a surprise victory. Wisconsin, who I think in recent weeks were like, preseason prognosticators are probably right. They're probably the best team in the Big Ten West. They hammered Purdue. They got some things going offensively. But then they laid an egg against Iowa at home and – lost Tanner Mordecai to injury in that game, and now they're going to bring in Braden Locke, who is a redshirt freshman. He transferred from Mississippi State. He was there last year, didn't play, and then transferred to Wisconsin as a backup, of course. He's going to make his first start here in Champaign, and as you look at the point spread right now, Illinois is only a 2.5-point underdog. to a Wisconsin team at home for homecoming. So we got the next couple of days to really dive in deep. I know we're going to get a guy from 24/7 tomorrow to talk more about this. We'll break it all down at Pia's on Friday as a reminder. One of the few we'll make over the next day or two. Come out and join us on Friday, 3 to 5. Jay Layman's going to be there. Going to have Kent Brown as well. We locked him in. And then we're Martin O'Donnell. Can I mention that one as well?
Yeah, I believe. I mean, unless
I think we got that one
happens,
lined up.
You know, obviously.
We've been talking to him.
Yeah, that would be awesome to have Martin out. He's spectacular with what he does and how he covers the games and such. And it'll just be fun to visit with him. I'm looking at this. So you're saying essentially we've got an Egg Bowl battle.
Yeah,
going
Ole
on.
Miss, Mississippi State.
Yeah, we got like two quarterbacks that I know Braden never really played for Mississippi State or didn't at all. And obviously our quarterback Altmyer didn't play a lot. But you know, you look at this. I mean, Mordecai. Look, he was the perfect Wisconsin quarterback, right? 64% completion, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, kind of don't do anything wrong, get us into this ground game, even though they think they're, you know, this air raid offense now, which is interesting. I can't wait to kind of see how that develops Saturday with your backup. But you look at this lock. I mean, he's 13 of 31. He's already thrown an interception, no touchdowns. I mean, I just, from on a scale of 1 to 10 – and I'll ask both of you, Kyle, you can weigh in. How much does it give Illinois a chance to win this game? How important, like 10 being, oh, well, we'll win this easily now because their backup quarterback's in. I don't think it's that easy because they still have a stud running attack, right, with Braylon Allen and such.
Right.
But how easier does it make the game? Is it a 6? I mean, is it an 8? To be able to throw a backup. Now, obviously, we don't know much about Braden Locke.
Yeah, to go 6, you're leaning towards Illinois should win the game, which I wouldn't totally argue and say that you're dead wrong with that. At least it's a toss-up. I mean, it's a 5 at the very least. Vegas with the line certainly shows that. It would be a little backwards to be like, okay, between the Maryland game and the Wisconsin game, what's going against you against Maryland? Well, you're on the road. You're facing one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. They got a good passing attack, and Illinois obviously has an inexperienced secondary and all that. Also, Maryland on paper, I believe, was better at stopping the run than Wisconsin's been to this point.
I believe you're right.
You look at Wisconsin rush defense, about their 8th in the league and yards per game given up on the ground, and Maryland's 5th, so that they're higher up in those rankings as well. So then you flip the script. You're at home in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing a backup quarterback who, like you said, he's 3 for 31. And even Tanner Mordecai, I thought, now, yes, when they said air raid was Wisconsin and any kind of notion they weren't still going to run the ball, I think that was kind of crazy.
Right.
But this was somebody that threw like 70 touchdown passes over the last 2 years at SMU.
That's
so
crazy.
For his numbers to change, not to say that it's, you know, not a step up in competition a little bit, to face some Big Ten opponents and whatnot. But I think that also tells me that the receiving core at Wisconsin isn't built to have the type of passing attack that maybe Luke Fickell and company want pushing forward. So I think that this sets up to not hurt Illinois' weaknesses as much.
Great call.
And to have a guy that's even more inexperienced than Luke Altmyer is a big plus for Illinois.
You had accidentally said 3 of 31. He's 16 of 31.
Did I say 3 of 31?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, at first I was like,
I'd be at a 10 if he was 3 for 31.
Right. No, you'd be playing quarterback for Iowa if you're 3 for 31.
Okay.
And yet still be 6
okay.
and 1.
Yeah. That was well deserved. I'm looking here at their two top running backs. We all know about Braylon Allen. Ches Malusi last year was pretty solid for them as well. They're both averaging over 6 yards a carry. And what's scary is you look at your total carries, 224 for Wisconsin for 1,124 yards. Illinois actually has one more carry this year, but only 893 yards. So that shows you, now obviously it's been a lot of injuries in that Illinois backfield, and there are some built-in excuses for that. That offensive line, obviously, which we think kind of got on track against Maryland, would love to see that continue again. But certainly Luke Altmyer is a heavy favorite when it comes to the quarterback matchup. And I think that's where Illinois has got to take advantage. And Isaiah Williams, I don't think we talk enough about him and what he's done this season. I know all of us the other day were just talking about how this kid could possibly get to, you know, I think last year he had 80 catches and he's already at 42. And he's, it seems like, you know, he's getting six or seven a game. He's 546 in terms of yards. I don't know if he can get to 1,000 there, but, you know, Isaiah is the kind of guy that could go over 100 in mm-hmm. two or three straight games. And all of a sudden now you've got that yardage mark creeping up to 1,000. I think it would be wonderful to get him to that mark, but you're right. I mean, that it's an Illinois team. And I've said this 100 times, we're coming into the year. I thought, well, good luck running against us. And I know that you were missing a couple of guys, but with Newton and Randolph, do we know about Randolph? Will he be available? I would hope. You're going to need him in this game.
Might learn more tomorrow when Brett talks to the media.
Ah, okay. I couldn't remember if he said anything on Monday.
On Monday, he said he hadn't been cleared yet, but he was progressing. So
was this an ankle?
I don't know what it was.
Because he hurt it, I think, in the Purdue game when Purdue was just walking all over.
I want to say he was down in the Nebraska game late and left the field.
Okay. Okay. Maybe it was Nebraska.
It looked pretty serious, but then I think he came back in and played a couple snaps, but then obviously he was out.
Then it was done. Okay. Well, again, Wisconsin could talk all about their air raid, and granted, without their starting quarterback, that obviously changes things, but you still got to stop them running the football. And I think that Illinois is just going to have to do. I'm going to have to do a yeoman job of that. I know one of the guys that, of course, is leading this Illinois team in tackles is Dylan Rosiak. We're going to hear from him a little bit later, the sophomore with 45 tackles tied with Miles Scott. So you're going to need those. And then you got Randolph and Newton, 33 tackles for Randolph, 29 for Newton. So how have they played? How do you think Newton and Randolph, how would you grade the law firm?
I think for the most part, Newton's been pretty good. I mean, he's had some moments of dominance. The fact that he was raved about in that Penn State game said how good he was able to be against the top-notch rushing attack, and that's a nationally televised game, and, and obviously his performance in that earned him high praise. I don't like the fact that he had the penalty late against Maryland.
Right.
Of course, that's just kind of a thing you just need to get cleaned up for this squad in general, as just some of those unnecessary penalties. But there have been moments where they haven't been as flashy and impactful as I would have thought. But I think that on the whole, I'd probably give Newton, and you guys can weigh in on this as well, obviously, but is he a B+ or?
Yeah, he leads. I think going into Maryland, he led the country in pressures.
Okay, that's probably an A then.
So I think he's an A. I would say an A.
He's gotten double teamed the last couple of weeks heavily, which, I mean, that speaks to how dominant he is. You can't really fault him if he's not quite as disruptive because he's opening up. Like Seth Coleman benefited from that.
Right. And Odugla. Am I saying that right? Odugla, sorry. I always say it wrong. Those guys, I definitely agree with Kyle, are benefiting. I mean, Newton has 2.5 sacks, 17 yards accompanied with those 2.5 sacks. Randolph, he has 1.5 sacks, 33 tackles for Randolph, 29 for Newton. But you're right in terms of, first of all, I doubt they even run at Johnny Newton or Keith Randolph.
Right.
They probably are like, don't run at those two guys. I don't know what gap you've got to run at, but don't run at those two. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's number one. That's a hard position, unless they have like 8 sacks right now at this point. It's a hard position for me, at least. Maybe other people are better at this, but to kind of judge and say, oh yeah, you know, I have to rely on PFF grades more.
I was just about to bring him up.
Is that what you? Yeah, I was going to say.
I know we did have a text from a Muhammad on the U of I Atlanta Link text line saying that Johnny Newton named a midseason first team All American. So,
oh.
Okay. There are two A's in All-American, so I'd say he's an A.
Let's do A on
Let
that.
Let me revote.
Heath also mentioned, I didn't know Malusi was out for the season.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, my fault.
He got hurt in that Purdue game.
My fault, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, that's even better. I mean, I hate to root for injuries to be the reason, but, I mean, a lot of this, and to credit Illinois for getting back in it with the game against Maryland, the win against Maryland. That definitely brought a lot of us back, and it put them back in a position to succeed in terms of at least going to a bowl game and getting the 6 wins or more. So I give them credit for that, but certainly you're catching a big break here with injuries for Wisconsin, and them coming here is nice as well. So it's, I don't know, it's hard to win in Madison. We all know that. So it's nice to know that not only do they have the injuries, but they're coming here, and it's homecoming. Not that that matters. I think Illinois started homecoming. Did you know that, Kyle?
No.
Illinois started homecoming. You have to Google it to make sure, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Pretty sure. Pipes got in trouble a lot at homecoming. We Did got I? The door open.
Oh.
No, I don't know. Did you?
Homecoming
was just another Saturday for us at SIU. I mean,
oh, are you talking about when I was actually in school?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Okay.
So then I probably,
we're going to let that go.
I probably did. Probably did, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's – did you ever find the PFF grades?
Yeah, I brought up Johnny Newton. On the whole, he's been graded out as about a 75 out of 100. When you look at interior defenders, he's down the list a little bit nationally. Like, I would have expected him to be maybe a little bit higher, but he's like – now, again, I don't know what the sample size is for some of these guys. Like, you might have just situational players that don't have the snap count of Johnny Newton, but essentially he's like 92nd
okay.
among interior defenders in terms of PFF grade.
Well, then that's hard to beat.
That's
pretty solid.
It's solid, but for a first team midseason All-American, I would expect him to be like top five.
Yeah, well,
in the country,
that's true.
But
that's true.
He's not there right now. I'll maybe get in a little bit deeper on some of these stats.
Well, I'll tell you this. If Randolph is able to play, and obviously Newton, if they can slow this Wisconsin running attack, then they will have earned back a lot of, if there's any thought that they're not playing up to the level that we felt like they should play, they could do it this weekend.
Right.
And it would be a big time to do it.
Right.
Because it's going to be a lot of Braylon Allen coming at you.
100%. Yeah. You got to use this break to your advantage. The fact that you have the injury to Tanner Mordecai, you got to be able to make this something that is a break that you've needed. You've needed a break when you lose on your home field to Nebraska and you struggle to have things click the way we thought they would early on in the year. And I'm not saying this is another quote-unquote must win by any means, but it would really propel you back into a spot where you still have at Minnesota, you still have Indiana, you still have Northwestern.
Sure.
And you'd be sitting there with four wins and three very winnable ones at the very least, plus Iowa. You never know. I mean, that's probably an ugly football game, and the way they're playing defense, you go on the road, and it's probably a tough one to get. But you could make up for some of the missed opportunities, the poor performance earlier in the year if you were to reel off back-to-back against Maryland and Wisconsin.
I'm with you. And, Kyle, Iowa doesn't – I mean, they scare you because of their defense, but you have a feeling you're going to be in the game, regardless if their starting quarterback is back, you know, which he won't. So, I don't know. Yeah. You just feel like you always go into the Iowa game probably knowing you're going to lose, or that's the feeling, but yet knowing that this is still an Iowa team that doesn't score.
I mean,
which opens a door for you to stay in the game.
I could not be less worried about Iowa, but the problem is that I think they may go 11-1 because their schedule is unbelievably soft the rest of the way.
It's unreal.
But, yeah, I mean, their defense is elite, but they can't score. I think you know it's going to be a game that the total is under 30 in that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. And it's at Iowa City, so that always makes it a little bit tougher as well. But, hey, it is what it is.
Should we just bet Iowa unders the rest of the year
yes.
and see how profitable it is?
The total for Iowa-Minnesota this Saturday, I think at least it opened at 32.5, which is just insane.
I think the Wisconsin-Iowa one was like 34.
It was 34.5,
wow.
I think.
And it was a total of 21.
There's three automatic wins in life right now. The Carolina Panthers losing.
Mm-hmm.
So bet money line on the other team. Okay. Iowa under. And Christian McCaffrey scoring a touchdown.
Ah, good call.
Right? I mean, that's like good 14 call. Straight weeks. Although he's banged up a little bit, but now they don't think it's as bad. Those three, if you'd have done that all year, you would have pulled ahead.
There's a stat out there, I know we got to catch a break, that if you would have – the streak that McCaffrey has of consecutive touchdowns, if you would have bet like $1,000 – now, who's betting $1,000 on an anytime touchdown. Let's make it more like relative. If you were to bet maybe $100 on that and then you took the winnings and just continued to stack it up, you'd have like $200,000 or something like that by now. I saw a stat about that.
But if I did that by week three,
if you personally did that,
he wouldn't score week one.
We know.
I'd be down 100 and be
sitting
there.
How some of those go. But
dang it.
You've been on a nice little run here recently. So I think the less we talk about it, the better it's going. So
Maxwell says, that sounds like a little three-leg parlay to me, Lon. Let's go. We can bet all three of those. Is McCaffrey healthy, though? He got banged up. I don't even know who they play.
They've got Minnesota on Monday night.
Ooh, they haven't beaten them in years, I heard. That's not a stat that somebody like Lon would know or come up with. I must have heard that.
Is that real?
Yeah, they haven't beaten Minnesota. Kyle, before we take a break, can you effort last time Niners beat the Vikings? Now, granted, they don't play all the time, but it seems like it was like it's been quite a while. Minnesota's kind of had their number. He's looking. He's no left-handed typer.
Step your game up, Kyle.
I mean, my goodness.
Beat them in 2021.
Oh, well, then that's not very bad.
Yeah, I think you might be
maybe it was at Minnesota.
A different team. Or, yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's what it was. I'll effort that one.
Oh, at Minnesota, it's been since 2000. Wow. It's been a long time.
Like 94?
92.
Okay.
That's what it was.
All right, that's what I had heard. So give me a half a star for coming to the table with something that at least everybody now is going to remember. That's what's good about me is that I'll always get it wrong and everybody else will correct me and then they'll never forget it. So there'll be guys at a bar Sunday going, you know, San Francisco hasn't won at Minnesota since 92. And other people will be like, why do you know that? Well, I just do.
That's what Lante said.
That's what Lon said.
I will say I found that Johnny Newton has been credited with 25 pressures so far this year.
Wow.
I don't know where that ranks nationally. I do assume that that's pretty high, but I don't know why I can't sort it.
I know going into the Maryland game, he was first among all defensive tackles.
Then why is he not? Is he not getting good run grades? Why is he not graded,
higher on his,
like,
yeah,
he's 92nd in the country in interior defensive lineman grade overall, but that's interesting.
We need
PFF
to get some. We need to
let's
get
call
some
somebody from PS. Yeah, that question.
Doesn't our guy work for PFF?
Mike Renner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get him on the horn.
We need to have Mike on one of these days. Scott actually did the bet. It's $100 to win 110. That's it? Even with a McCaffrey touchdown?
McCaffrey touchdown, Panthers to lose, and who else?
It was Iowa's under.
Oh, Iowa's under. Gotcha.
It's got to be more than that. Maybe he's just joking.
Well, Iowa's under is going to be minus 110.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to do it at this break.
Let's get it done. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We can talk a little baseball at some point. You had the Phillies just mash the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. Merrill Kelly, I was going to say, you know, he only gave three hits, although they were three bombs, two by Schwarber, Kyle's guy, and one by Trey Turner. And then getting into that bullpen, just the floodgates opened up and a 10-0 win for the Phillies last night. Now going to Arizona up 2-0 in the series, and you got Houston and Texas tonight, game three. 2-0 is the series for Texas. Max Scherzer is going to make his postseason debut. We'll talk more about that. We can talk some college hoops. I just got that itch to talk college hoops. I'll fill you in.
I read
at some
your
point.
VIP.
Yeah.
And I just want to like shout it to the world.
Let's talk about some. We can talk about some of it.
Okay.
Because the Illinois basketball is going to play a exhibition game here in 2 days. So let's
2 days.
Let's get you set for that as well.
I'm in.
We're due for a break. Stick with us. It is The Drive.
Well, you got events all week long. I mean, it's dinner on the quad Monday, homecoming International Day celebration Tuesday, Greek support homecoming, among other things, on Wednesday. Thursday's the Shabbat campus for Jewish life dedication ribbon cutting.
We will have, you know, a lot of featured guests throughout the week, obviously. Yeah. The homecoming parade on Friday. That'll be at 5:30.
You know, global talent shows on Tuesday night, and there's just so many fun festivities. Where do we go for more information?
Absolutely. Homecoming.illinois.edu. Go, Alina.
It's that time of year again when the Pregnancy Resource Center begins to prepare for their annual fundraising banquet. The 2023 banquet will be held on Friday, October 20th at 7 p.m. at the I Hotel in Champaign. Keynote speakers this year will be from the hit reality show Duck Dynasty, Al and Lisa Robertson. Married for over 30 years, the couple will openly share their hardships as they counsel couples in trouble across the country at churches and pregnancy centers. For more information or to make a donation, visit chprcevents.org.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the people's choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years' experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men and a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men and a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two Men and a Truck.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jet's Pizza, new popcorn chicken pizzas. Their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. It's new and a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Try any of the four for just $17.99, code BBQ. Their popcorn chicken pizzas are perfect to order while watching football with friends and family. Try their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. Just $17.99. 99. Code BBQ. Jets better because it has to be.
The Champaign Center Partnership invites the community to join in the holiday festivities happening in downtown Champaign during the 23rd annual Parade of Lights presented by Christie Clinic on Saturday, November 25th. You can be part of the holiday magic by sponsoring, volunteering, or entering a float in the parade. Early float registration ends on Halloween. Visit ChampaignCenter.com for all the details. Can't wait to see you in downtown Champaign the Saturday following Thanksgiving for the Parade of Lights.
Here's what one shopper said about Pard's Western Shop in Urbana, 306 North Maple, between Main and University. He said, sure, you can find booths at some big box stores, but nothing like Pard's selection. They're unique, they're local, and they have an excellent store. So many people that visit Pard's in Urbana say the same thing. Pard's in Urbana, 306 North Maple, you can find the best boots in the world and shop local. Visit Pard's.com, Pard's.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I know we had Lindy on the U of I Atlanta Link text line texting earlier about why is RJ Melendez still on the intro. Didn't you guys hear that RJ pulled the Casey Washington and he left Georgia, he came back, and Illinois had a scholarship?
Oh, he's doing the Casey Washington, you just said. Yeah. I like this. No, I don't.
No, that's not what happened.
Would you want RJ Melendez back? I don't think so either. Who would you
That's
take?
Not your issue. Like, you've got enough wings and guys that can play between a three and a four. And he wasn't a plus shooter last year. He was obviously a big minus. Is he going to get healthier with his shoulder and have a bounce back? That's possible for him, but rather have some capable ball handler to be a potential point guard option.
I liked RJ. I think somebody texted last year a lot that said that they just didn't play him in the right spot. And I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but like to me, RJ, you're not a shooter. You're just not. And right. I think they tried to make him one. I mean, his best highlights, I can tell you right now, were when he was coming from the baseline for a dunk. You know, those were his great. Mm-hmm. He was explosive, or he could be. And it just seemed like, I don't know, that was last year.
There was a lot of, it is going to transition kind of to forecasting this year too. I'm going to be really interested. I know you look at Ottawa on Friday, and that's a NAIA school and not great competition. So I don't know how much we'll be able to glean from that one. But then, of course, Kansas is the number one team in the country. So how that looks is going to be interesting. But with RJ, there was a lot of spotting up in the corner and kind of being stagnant. And I think Illinois' offense in general was pretty stagnant, especially off the ball.
Yes, sir.
Can this team do a better job of cutting and moving into openings, having a flow about it, you know, whether it's connecting pass after pass after pass to keep movement going, or guys away from the ball trying to find gaps to cut down and get open? And do you have that cohesion with the ball handler and the cutter to be like, okay, I'm going to see this, I'm going to anticipate that? And I think that's something that I want to see out of this team. I think especially if you're not a knockdown three-point shooting team, which I think for the most part we're not expecting them to be. You need to be able to do some of those other things to get easy baskets and to really, you know, take up some of that space that's out there. So I think RJ could have benefited from more cuts, whether that was design or just kind of him feeling it out. And then, of course, if Illinois could have played maybe in transition a little bit more and get him going that way. But he had a lot of open threes that he just didn't make. And I think that he's probably a better shooter than – 20% or so last year, but
I would hope.
We'll see how that looks at Georgia.
Now, he's no Jaden Epps 46, you know.
Man, we mentioned that yesterday while you're gone.
I heard you. His dad, right?
His dad and his trainer.
The trainer was
aggressive on Twitter. He was the most combative of Brad Underwood on Twitter. Yeah.
He was jealous.
How much is he victory lapping the 46-point scrimmage performance see?
I haven't checked
Jaden
in.
Jaden wasn't being used properly.
I have not checked in on that. I'm sure he'll be vocal if that continues this season and Illinois struggles.
Why can't I think of our trainer, our strength guy?
Oh, the strength and conditioning coach, Adam Fletcher?
Yeah, Fletch. You know that guy had a big old jealousy problem with that. Let's be honest. He had, not Epps, but the trainer.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like a strength guy. I think it was like a skill work guy. Like his personal player development guy.
Got it. Okay. I needed one of those growing up. All I had was a folding lawn chair that Steve Alford showed me one Saturday morning how to cut off screens and move away from the balls. So I put up like four chairs, and Dad came home from the office and he's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm learning how to move without the ball and coming off screens." And he's like, "All right, I'm gonna go fish." I'm like, "Oh, you're not even gonna help me?" I'm like, "I need somebody to pass it to me." I had to spin the ball back to me. You know, I'd throw it like 20 feet ahead, spin it back, come off the screen, make like
that
three
works,
out
though,
of 10.
Man.
Yeah, it does.
I like doing that.
That was a good look. I got a good sweat out of that stuff. All right, you know the saying, innocent until proven guilty. The way I'm looking at this Illinois offense this season is the opposite. It's guilty until they've proven that they're innocent. I'm still worried about the lack of a true point guard. I know I understand Dre hopefully can do some things.
Yep.
I mean, I'm assuming against Ottawa, Nico's going to like light him up. You know, he'll have an Epps kind of line. So we'll be like, "Oh, we've got our point guard." But until they show me that they can run an offense that just looks smooth and it looks like it's running the correct way without sputtering, without everything, and part of that is shooting, then I'm going in with a guilty verdict until that they prove to me that, yep, you know what? Things have changed this season. Is that fair?
I think that it could still be a big blemish, obviously, on this team in terms of what they're capable of and how far they can go if they don't figure out the point guard situation. Do I think they can win a decent amount of games, even with some ability to poke holes in what that spot looks like? I think they can because I think they're talented. I think they got some pluses at the defensive end. The fact of Terrence Shannon Jr. is one of the best players when he's at his best, obviously one of the best in the Big Ten, if not. I mean, I think that there's a potential for him to be an All-American candidate if he really figures things out and can be consistent and assertive and all those things. Coleman's a good player. He's on NBA draft boards for a reason. I wrote about Marcus Damask in my recent article, and there's a lot of hype around him right now. There's a lot of excitement about what he's showing on the practice court and him being just a really savvy veteran that's very steady, and they feel like he's probably, you know, one of the top three players on the court any day for them right now, and sometimes even better than that. Sometimes one of the two best. So I think that's great. I think you got him. You got Quincy coming in with 4 years of high major experience. You got a lot of depth. But, yes, if Ty does not really fully embrace that position and make people better. And
I agree.
If the shooting concerns are just such a huge limitation, then that's going to hold this team back, I think, ultimately. I think Brad's got to be really selective. I think in general, when you have a lot of depth, you've got to make good choices with your rotations and make some tough decisions. But I think especially with Ty not being able to shoot, like, how much can you play him and Dane together?
Right.
Like, can you have Dane on the floor with Ty? And then if you think about that, if they want to play where Dane's posting up, how does Ty's defender not automatically go and just kind of get up in Dane's grill? And yes, Ty could cut to the basket, and you just got to be able to structure that well to where the floor spacing isn't all messed up. And on the flip side, like, what if Terrence is out there trying to drive to the basket and you got Dane spotted up on one block and you got Ty as a guy you don't have to guard, you know, outside of the free throw line? So that's something they're going to have to navigate. And then you got inexperienced players and Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn and Nico Moretti. I know that Moretti is been someone they've talked up in terms of his offensive capabilities, a guy that sees the floor well, can play pick and rolls and whatnot, and did some good things in Spain. I think defensively I still have big concerns about him because he's really slender and not the most athletic, and I think that teams will attack him defensively. And then Dre is someone that has the utmost confidence and a lot of physical talent, but there'll be times where he's a little inefficient. He'll take some bad shots, and we'll just kind of ride that freshman roller coaster. So the long-winded answer is that I think that there's a lot of reason to be worried about point guard. I'm really interested to see how it looks. I do like that it sounds like Ty's backing guys down quite a bit. Yep. That's going to be interesting. If we've kind of wondered how that would be, how much Jalen Pickett he could add to his game in that type of a sense. And I think kind of to throw it back to you is the best way to do that is you got to have as much spacing around him as possible. That's probably playing Coleman at the five and really opening up that lane for him to be able to do that.
Before we get to the text line, Kyle, what do you think going in? What is your thought on this point guard situation going in? So whatever you say today is going to be held over you.
Yeah, I know.
In February.
I'm skeptical about it. I want to see it play out. I mean, I have a lot of concerns about the fact that your starting point guard is not a threat outside of the paint. I think that's going to clog up some things. Now, I think it could work. Derek alluded to a lot of the reasons that it could still work. And I think that, yeah, if Ty Rogers is backing guys down and using his size and physicality at that spot, I think that's where you can have an advantage. But I'm very concerned offensively of putting the ball in the hands of a guy that isn't a threat outside of the paint.
I think that's
going to be something that I need to see play out for me to buy into Illinois being a much improved offensive team with that. And again, it's nothing against Ty the player.
Right.
It's just him playing that spot with his shooting deficiencies. And I think that concerns me and I want to see that play out. But I think that there are some reasons that it could work. But I do agree that I would like to see a lineup with a lot of spacing with Coleman at the five and try to put as much perimeter spacing around him to make it easier on him and minimize some of those concerns.
Yeah, very true.
I think it's going to be interesting how people guard him. Like especially
Ty, you're talking about.
Yeah, especially like the big time matchups. Like Kansas, I mean, it's a game that doesn't count. They maybe don't have to spend too much time worrying about what a scouting report looks like. Although if they put DeJuan Harris, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year on him as a point guard and see what that looks like. But does Marquette just say, we're not going anywhere past the free throw line on Ty Rogers? Like, we're just going to camp out in the lane. There's no defensive 3 seconds like there is in the NBA. And we're just going to, if he wants to take six or seven threes, like 1 year it was Penn State that just didn't guard DeMonte Williams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he ended up making like three of six, three of seven, three, whatever it was. But they just like, we're not going to guard him.
Mm-mm.
So I think that with Ty, I had heard, and to share a little bit of what I wrote, and not to say like this is a very small sample size, but I had heard on Friday Ty had taken three threes in that practice. He made one, but he airballed the other two.
Eesh.
I know in the open practice before Spain that I did see, he made it like a pull-up jumper kind of just inside the free throw line type of shot. So maybe he can add that a little bit if people are overplaying his drive a little bit too much. But he did have a ball in the hand late in the shot clock, and that's something that I'm going to be really interested to see how they structure that around with Ty out there.
Makes sense.
That he had to take a three, and he missed everything on that as well. So just having that, it's kind of like a quarterback if he couldn't throw downfield. Like, it just shrinks the area that the defense has to account for. And again, there are a lot of things I really like about Ty Rogers. I love his rebounding. I love his grit.
Amen.
I think he's a good athlete. I think for the most part, he can get where he wants to go off the dribble. He did that last year in ball screens. But and maybe if DeMass comes in and he shoots 35%+ from three, if Guerrier shoots well from three, if Goody, Shannon, if Hawkins, then all of a sudden you can have one guy that doesn't shoot it that well and maybe he'll go bang in the lane and those other guys will hurt you if you cheat off and they leave you open from three. So
that's fair.
That can work. But then, of course, you have the question, well, then again, Illinois was 335th in three-point shooting last year.
Eesh. Austin's got a good text that we're going to get to next hour. It's about Kansas and how that will go. I think it'd be a nice time to throw that out at your pipes. What are you – I know you don't have the playbook, but what can we expect with Illinois and Kansas since it's an exhibition, et cetera? What do you think they'll – you know, kind of how will they do it compared to other exhibitions that they've maybe done? Although those are always – secretive. This one everybody's gonna see, so we'll do that when we come back next hour. I think that'd be perfect. Also, what we're gonna hear from Dylan Rosiak, linebacker, sophomore linebacker, leads the team in tackles, tied for the team lead, and the two coordinators talking Illinois, Wisconsin. We got a lot to do. I'm signing us off. It's The Drive.
We all have a mission in life, something that drives us. to explore, to grow, to love. And when we discover it, we're made whole. At OSF Healthcare, we want you to be the best you possible. We're here for you on your schedule to make your life just a little bit easier. Whatever your mission is, we're here to support it. Your life, our mission. Learn more at osfhealthcare.org/mission.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.